Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
And welcome to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Cal Walters and Tom Claxton, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran. And we've got an outstanding show coming up for you. But we want to start by thanking some of the sponsors that helped make the show possible.
Yes, we do. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Alabama Pipe and Supply, the Charlie Wilson Insurance Agency, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Daphne's Hottest Place for Chow, the waterfront restaurant at No. 1 Yacht Club Drive, the Medicare Lady, Ms. Keisha Chambers, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens.
And, of course, we want to thank all our sponsors and you, our great listeners, because we could not do this without your support. So, please, when you talk to those sponsors, let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. And, of course, SBN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So, jump onto the Facebook page to get a little more information on the topics of the day. Coming up later on the show, we'll be joined by one of our C lawyers from the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Ms. Noelle SBA. She'll get us up to speed on the legal issues facing our veterans today. And we'll also speak with Mr. Austin Sidwell, candidate for Congress in the 1st Congressional District here in Alabama. And, of course, Tom's tirade on 10 soldiers in Pedro's Army. But first, it's always a pleasure to be joined on SBN by Ms. Corey Gaston from the Waterfront Restaurant in Daphne. Corey, welcome back to SBN, and thank you and your crew for your service to the community.
Thank you guys for having me back on again.
Corey, what's going on at the big waterfront restaurant over there?
I mean, well, you know, it's the middle of summer, and so we're having some beautiful sunsets out there every day on the bay. Doing live music 6 days a week out there, twice on Sunday. So it's just a great time to come out. We've got fans, misters, keep it as comfortable as can be outside. But at sunset, it's always nice temperature.
Oh, so. It's always nice, and this is a time of the year that you can really enjoy that. I've been noticing your musicians that you're posting there weekly. That's an exciting group of musicians that are playing over there.
It is. It's a really good mix of different artists and, you know, different guys and girls who sing different types of music. So there's something for everybody. We try to post the lineup each week so you know the week in advance and remind you every day on Instagram and Facebook of who it is going to be that night. I believe tonight we have Mr. Matthew Lojo out there playing, who's always a crowd favorite.
Well, what about your bingo nights? That has become a real big event for you guys over there, and with all of the charities that you let it help support.
It has. It's a great night for us on Monday nights. I had a couple that came in this week who didn't even know it was bingo and just had left a movie and were going somewhere to have a beer afterwards and stumbled into bingo and had the best time. And it's all for a charity every month, which is a great thing. So you can help out, you know, people local in the community. The money stays locally. We determine the charity based on that, but it's going to be something local. And this month we're doing Big Brothers, Big Sisters. And so it's just a great way to come out, support the community, and have a good time, and enjoy some great food and beverages.
What time is your happy hour?
So happy hour is from 2 to 6, Monday through Friday, but on bingo nights we run it all night as well.
Okay. I thought it was on the total, because I was there for two or three of your bingo nights, and
yeah,
it appeared that the...
Yeah, on bingo
yeah.
night.
Well, and we'd like to, on behalf of our veterans in, of the South Alabama area, we'd like to thank you guys for working with the South Alabama Veterans Council and making the bingo night, one of the events that you helped present charity to. And then you turned around there for that humongous bash that you had and worked with us on that, too. So on behalf of all of our veterans, we're very appreciative for that.
Yeah, you know, I found out this week they were raffling off a motorcycle to benefit the American Legion Post. There was a group out there from one of the veterans groups, and the ticket that won the $35,000 motorcycle was purchased at Bay Bash.
No kidding.
By one of the patrons, yes. They've been taking it. They've been selling raffle tickets for several months now, and they finally held the drawing last weekend, and the person who won it had purchased the ticket at Bay Bash.
That is awesome. That is awesome. That was such an unbelievable event. And you had a packed house. You actually closed the restaurant off for this particular event. And, we all bought tickets to get into the event. And the additional monies went to a charity there, too, as well as the South Alabama Veterans Council. And it's just an unbelievable. I hope this is a first annual and y'all will continue to do that.
Oh, it's definitely going to be an annual event. You know, we've talked about it every year since we've been there, but we've just never gotten our ducks in a row leading up to 4th of July. Like, we always go, oh, my gosh, we were going to do this, and it was too late to plan it by then. But this
right.
year, we got everything straight, and we will be doing it every year from now on.
Well, that's just awesome. So each year, you'll have a different charity that you'll work with on it?
You know, I'm unsure about that because we're always going to do our Veteran of the Year presentation at it.
Right.
So it'll probably be something that is military veteran related, I would imagine.
Okay,
especially since it's the 4th of July, you know.
Okay.
I would imagine whatever charity we do is going to be something that is going to, you know.
Well, that's an awesome event. And I'm extremely proud to have been the first Veteran of the Year from the hospitality group. So that... That really made me feel well to be there to, you know, to be able to start with, be alive to accept it.
Well, you are number one on that slot, that's for sure, up on that plaque when it hangs up on the wall by our front door. So.
Well, we're very appreciative of that. We thank you so much for what you do for our veterans. And Pete and Nick both, all the things that they do for all of our veterans. And we appreciate you guys working with us on the show to be able to present the show to our veterans here on a weekly basis. And bless all of you. What's special? You got any kind of special next couple of days in food?
I believe that Colin's going to be cooking up some crab cakes for this weekend.
Okay.
From what I understand. So that'll be something new, and we'll do them at brunch as well on Sunday. So come on out, enjoy some live music, get some cold drinks. You know, we got a couple weeks before the kids start back to school. So let's finish summer strong and have a good time.
That'll be awesome. Yeah, we're very appreciative of you doing that. Corey, thank you so much for being on board with us.
Thank you, guys. It was a pleasure as always.
All right. Have a great one. You know, it's a pleasure to be able to interview Miss Corey Gaston. She was she's a GM there at the Waterfront Restaurant. And a lot of you people from around the area, especially you veterans that used to go to the old Ed Seafood Shed on the Causeway, she was started out there as one of the waitresses, and worked her way up to supervisor, and now that they've been to the new Waterfront Restaurant over there, she is the general manager. So, here's a lady that's worked her way up from the ground up and doing an unbelievable job. So go over and when you see her, say hi. See if you don't remember her from the old Ed Seafood Shed. We appreciate them working with us. And as always, you can visit scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information. And on the other side of the break, Ms. Noelle Espiot from the law firm of Gardberg in Kimberly. It's awesome to have this guru in the house with me when we return on the Scuttlebutt.
Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans. Transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. And, of course, if you like to listen on demand, our regularly aired programs are posted on the FM Talk 106.5 app via podcast there. And Tom's tirade's up on castbox.fm. And it's always an honor to be joined on SBN by one of our legal eagles from the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Ms. Noelle Espiot. Noelle, welcome back to SBN, and thank you for your service to our veterans.
Thank you. I'm glad to be back. It's been a couple months.
Yep, but it's always a pleasure to have Noelle on board with us. She does an extremely good job, very knowledgeable, and makes a good presentation for us to our veterans so that we understand it. But you have brought us some information here tonight about the WAIT Act.
Yes.
How about enlighten us a little bit about that?
Okay. Well, I think to start off, I want to explain something that a lot of people do not know, and it affects all Americans, but affects our veterans. And when you file for Social Security disability benefits, when you get approved for disability, your first 5 months is a waiting period. So they do not actually pay you your back pay under Social Security disability, widow's disability benefits, or disabled adult child benefits for the claim for the first 5 months. So that's part of Stop the Wait. So one of the pieces of that legislation is that they are wanting to, it's a bipartisan bill that has been introduced. They're waiting on committee approval. It was introduced by a representative in Texas. It was originally introduced in 2019. It didn't go through. It didn't make it in 2022 and then 2023, but it came back up in February of 25. And so this would eliminate that five-month waiting period at the beginning of your benefits. Additionally, when you get Social Security disability, which is what we pay into with our FICA taxes and everything, you are entitled to Medicare. But there is a 24-month waiting period for your Medicare after the five-month waiting period.
So Wait a minute.
Yeah. So you have 29 months that you do not get Medicare insurance benefits. And so that is another piece of the legislation is put forward of that same bill to stop the wait period. So it is all about stopping this waiting period that they are imposing on Americans and the funds that we put in. Now, this is something that they'll have to slowly move towards if this goes through. But this is, you know, not fair to you because many times you're filing for disability because you have medical, mental, physical impairments. That is what you need. You need the medical coverage.
But then you have to wait, two years?
Yeah, 29 months before you actually qualify for the Medicare benefits.
So that being said, what are our people to even? That's Social Security as well as veterans, right?
Right, yes. And so one of the ways this really impacts our veterans is, well, you have to rely on your VA health care or you have to try to pay out of pocket for an insurance benefit, which plan, if you've looked into any insurance plan, those are astronomical prices.
Right.
And it's almost unaffordable now. But the VA, even though we have great VA facilities, it is a resource for our veterans and their families sometimes. If you go to the VA, you may know that they do not have a lot of specialists.
Right.
And so the doctors, the nurse practitioners, there's a lot of turnover there. And you may wait months to see a specialist. Or you have to get your primary at the VA to do a civilian care referral and do out to community care, which can take months. I have veterans tell me sometimes that they've been waiting for longer than a year to try to find a community care provider.
I thought we came up with a bill or something here or some kind of new law back not too long ago that helped shorten that period of time. Have you heard anything about that?
I don't know
enough about it to say that's real.
Yeah, I have not. I just know that when I talk to the veterans that need to see specialists, especially like neurologists, surgeons, you know, specific orthopedic surgeons, because in Mobile, anyways, they're lacking some of that.
We don't have any of that, period. Yeah,
right.
They're going to have to go to Biloxi.
Yeah. Right.
Or either Naval Air Station, Pensacola.
Right. And so if they need to see any of those providers and can't do that, I mean, I know that the VA does provide sometimes transportation and issues on that. But this would give them Medicare, and they can, you know, use their Medicare, but they can't do that for 29 months at this point. So, you know, looking at the people who have co-sponsored this bill, there are no Alabama representatives in the House or the Senate right now that have sponsored this Stop the Wait Act. There has been the original representative that introduced it last year in February was, like I said, out of Texas. I did look at the list, and there was one in Mississippi, and that's the only one I've seen right now. But, you know, I really wanted to reach out to everyone listening to the Scuttlebutt Network and telling them to reach out to your representatives. And we need and senators to get people to co-sponsor this bill and get it before the committee so that they can move it over to even get a vote on the floor.
Right.
And it's just really important because this would, you know, transfer that. They would have to, what the bill says is they would gradually reduce that waiting period. And by 2030, which sounds like it's a long ways away, but we're halfway through 2026.
Right. 27 is right around the corner.
Right, right. So by 2030, it would completely eliminate the wait on it. But we have to, you know, get this to the floor, and we needed to get a vote on. And this is the fourth time that it's gone, you know, been proposed, and it has not made it yet. But it really is vital to everyday Americans' benefits. You know, that once this takes away from what we have paid into and what the benefit that we're looking at for our Social Security disability. And there are some other legislation that's out there, too, that, you know, we really need to push our representatives to support for Social Security benefits.
Okay. So this is, I know it's one of your specialties as well as working with the VA, but you have run into some of our guys that maybe got in trouble with this delay.
Yes. So a lot of people, you know, they would go on, you know, a lot of times people we have veterans that do not have ratings yet. So they may not be getting all of their benefits. And then depending on what their separation was or what their rating is, they may not be able to use the VA services at the time.
Right, right.
So a lot of times we win their Social Security disability benefits and get them on that before they are approved for VA ratings.
Well, then we get some veterans that go down there, and if they make a certain amount of money, they say that they're not entitled to their VA.
Right. Well, there is another bill that is being worked on that's also up to go to the committee for approval and go to the floor for a vote, and it's the SSI Elimination Act. And SSI is more or less the welfare portion, so a lot of veterans that I see sometimes don't qualify for that because they may be getting a VA benefit, but it kind of works like VA pension does in a way, and it's based on income, but they have not, it's HR 2540, and Stop the Wait is HR 930 that is before the, you know, in legislation right now, but they have not assessed SSI benefits and what are the levels of income that people can have since 1989. Do you know how much inflation and how much our economy has changed?
Yeah, just go to the gas pump.
Right. It's changed since 1999, since 2009, much less 1989.
Just drive up to the gas pump.
Right. So right now,
I'm going to try to buy some food.
Right. So right now, a single individual can't have more than $2,000 in resource or assets. And they're looking to raise that to $10,000 for individuals. And a married couple can't have more than $3,000. So they're looking to raise that to $20,000 for married couples. Because basically, you're not even allowing someone to have any money saved to cover any kind of...
You don't have an emergency fund.
Nothing. You don't even have enough to, pay for a repair to your vehicle or for a hospital bill. So those are just a couple of things that are before the legislation. And us at Garberg and Kimmerly, we're always keeping a close eye on any pending legislation that's affecting our clients, our veterans, and we really want to help and work on that and get that out to the Scuttlebutt Network, our clients and the veterans and people in the Gulf Coast community, so that they can, reach out to their representatives.
Yes, yeah.
And get them, because we really need some people in Alabama, in the Gulf Coast regions, to support this, and because this is affecting our neighbors, it's affecting our family, and
sure
all
is,
of those
sure
around
is.
Us.
But, I'll bet you there's not 0.1% of the people that are really know
making
about
me do
this.
Math. Yeah. Oh yeah, no, nobody yeah. knows. I represent people, every day, and when they do get approved for their benefits, and as I'm talking to them along the way, I explain to them, look, this is what we're looking at. This is what you're going to be eligible for. And they're like, wait, why do I not get those first five months?
Right.
They don't understand. And then one of the main things that a lot of them wants is insurance. Some of them are like, look, keep my monthly payment. Yeah. I need my insurance. I need surgery. The doctors and the hospitals, they don't care what your monthly income is a lot of times. They want the insurance.
They want the insurance.
And without that, Medicare, and with SSI would come Medicaid.
Well,
it doesn't work.
In reality, you've got to wait 5 months or even the two-year deal. Hell, they could die with
exactly.
the problems they've got waiting on the benefits that they've been approved
exactly.
for.
Yes, and unfortunately, I do have clients that pass away, during the course of representation, and it's a very sad case, but unfortunately it does happen, and I would say more than once a year,
mercy. Well, we appreciate you bringing this forth to our attention and being able to get the word out to all of our veterans out here.
Well, thank you for having me.
We are not knowledgeable of a lot of this stuff, most older guys aren't, and we look forward to working with you guys with the Garberg and Kimmerly. And we appreciate the Garberg and Kimmerly working with us the last 17 years. So,
well, it is our pleasure, and it is not based on age. It is every age, everybody I speak with doesn't know about this. But you can reach out to us at 251-343-1111 or see us at 1015 Mont Lamar Drive right here in Mobile.
All right. Appreciate having you on. Bless you.
Thank you
so much. And for more information, you can go to Scuttlebutt Network. And on the other side, we will talk with our gentleman that is running for this congressman, Mr. Austin Sidwell.
Into the sun, here they come, zooming to meet our thunder. Adam, boys, give her the gun. Now we die.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Along with Tom Claxton, I'm Cal Walters, and we're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today.
And we want to thank all the fine folks that continue to help make this show possible. The battleship, USS Alabama Memorial Park, Alabama Pipe and Supply, our sea lawyers, Colin Kimmerly, and all the fine folks at the law firm of Garberg and Kimmerly, Miss Keisha Chambers, the Medicare lady, Daphne's Hottest Eatery, which is in the coolest location, the waterfront restaurant at Number 1 Yacht Club Drive, the Charlie Wilson Insurance Agency, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens.
We are now joined on SBN by Mr. Austin Sidwell, a candidate for Congress in Alabama's 1st Congressional District. Austin, welcome to the Scuttlebutt.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
And it's neat to kind of get us started here tonight on our election procedures. And it's rare and around here for us to get some young blood.
Yeah, I think.
But it's really neat to see that you're running for this congressional seat and being a veteran.
Yes, sir. So a little bit about me.
Yeah, give us a little insight who you are and where you are.
I'm from Baldwin County, went to the Air Force Academy, spent 12 years flying helicopters in the United States Air Force, four of which were in combat search and rescue, and then I was an instructor up at Fort Rucker. Got out in 2023 and moved back to Baldwin County to take over my family's security company. Been working that ever since. But exactly what you said, decided to run for Congress because I think we need some fresh blood and some fresh ideas, and I think we need some veterans up there fighting for our issues and our rights.
Right. You know, and that's rare. But back in the day, we had a lot of veterans that was in our legislation on the state level as well as on the national level, you know, in both Congress and the Senate. And we don't have that many now.
It doesn't seem like we have as many as we used to.
You know, and another thing we don't have is, and you just said it about running a business, we don't have a lot of our congressmen and senators that has ever run a business.
Well, they get up there and they get into politics early and they stay forever. They turn it into a career, and I'm kind of against that.
I'm totally against that. Yeah. You know, and I think a lot of the people are against that, you know.
Well, yeah, that and, you know, they get up there and they stay in these election cycles over and over again. And we don't only get people that don't have experience outside. We also get people that don't remember what it's like to be on the outside.
Right.
And that's one of the things with, you know, fresh ideas. It's not just about my age or anything like that. It's about just being from outside the system and getting in. And I know the previous conversation you had on here was about some of the affordability issues and things like that. And, you know, I live that. I've run a business in that. I was in the military during, you know, the wars in Afghanistan, Iraq, and things like that. And so, like, we see some of these present day issues that our current legislature, they don't really reflect people that have those experiences.
Right. Well, there's so many deal cutting ways of making legislature, you know, but that's just part of it, of the system. But we get bogged down to such an extent that the good ones don't get passed.
Yes. Yeah. You know? Yeah. It is part of the system. It's about, you know, building relationships and building compromise where you need it. But we also need people to stand their ground.
Right.
And I see that, you know, I'm a Republican, have been my entire life. I'm a true conservative. And while there are deals to be made, we also need people to stand on principle and not give ground where we don't need to give ground.
Well, what is, being where you're at and having your experience level, what are some of the things that you'd like to see get involved with? I know that you can't make those changes by yourself.
Absolutely not. But
you can help generate them or be part of them.
Absolutely. Being part of it and leading the action. One of those, since we're on the radio with some good veterans and hopefully some listening, like, one of the things I don't understand is why do our veterans not get pulled into the VA while they're still in service? Right. So we put the onus on the veterans. And part of the thing that I learned when I was running my business was, you know, workers' comp. Right. That's on the employer.
Right.
And that's supposed to be the VA system is supposed to be a compensation for
that. Should be our workman's comp for being a veteran.
Exactly. That's exactly how the system is designed. And yet, you know, I have friends that haven't gotten into the VA for 10 years after their service. And it's ridiculous.
Would you believe 30?
Right. Like, you know? It's something that we put the onus on the soldier instead of the government doing its duty and actually pulling those guys in from the day that they leave.
Right.
No one should leave service, whether you're in the reserve, the guard, or active duty, without being already enrolled in the VA system with an appointment on the books.
And we see so many occasions, Austin, where our veterans, they get overseas and they get involved in combat or they get involved in actions where they get some PTSD and our TBIs and our injuries, and they know that if they want to get out, man, I'm my contract is here, I'm going to get out, and if I tell them that I've got this problem, they're going to keep me, you know, and I'm not going to get out. I'm not going to be able to go home. I'm not going to be able to see my family. I hadn't seen my kid. You know, my baby's born, and, you know, year and a half old, I hadn't even seen him.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's wrong. There should be some way to get around that, you know, make it a natural movement for these guys to get involved.
Well, I just went through TAPS 3 years ago, and they spend 2 weeks teaching you how to enroll in the VA. They go through a PowerPoint, right? They don't actually sign you up for anything. But why don't we just spend that time getting your medical records together, getting you signed up, and make it a requirement that when you get out, you're already
enrolled.
It'd
be just as quick as you do that meeting you just had.
Yeah, exactly.
Or quicker.
It would be kind of seamless. And then you would get out. Let's put your first appointment within 6 months of exiting the military.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, we have those medical records already stacked up. And then it's done. And then
right.
You're already in the system. You've already got your... I mean, one of the things that I faced when I did my disability was they didn't even realize that I have had a wife and kids. And so it was 9 months after I got my first disability payment that I realized that the payment wasn't what it was supposed to be because it didn't include my family on it. I got married and had my kids while I was in the military.
Right.
And yet they didn't have a record.
And you
of
got
that.
Paid for it there.
Yeah, I got paid for
you
it there.
You got paid
and
for
yet
it in
didn't...
service. They knew you were married.
Exactly.
They knew
and
you
that
had
didn't
kids,
transfer.
So they paid you for it.
Yes. Yeah,
but,
so
but
it's
that
just,
didn't follow.
It didn't, and it's just a lack of common sense. We have our elected officials are disconnected from what's actually going on. Like, we don't need people that, you know, one, have never served before, and two, and have no idea what goes on with the VA,
right,
and two, we don't.
Right.
It's different now. We need some modern thinking on what's going on now, and sometimes your experience 20, 30 years ago isn't the same as it is now.
Oh hell no! Yeah, by no means. But, you know, the thing in that regard is they have the same ideology in the Congress and in the Senate now that we caught when we came back from Nam. You know what I mean? And the idea about what kind of people we are and what we have turned into is that theology or that knowledge or that whoopee attitude that we were confronted with and spit on with, you know, in the Nam days, you know?
Yeah.
No, I didn't go to Nam, but I served during the Nam. I was there, you know, in 56, right after Korea.
Yes, sir.
You know, and I was there in 62, you know, so yeah, I'm an era, a veteran.
But, yeah, we never want to go back to that, ever.
No,
we
no.
do not want to go
but
back to that world.
But see, you get a guy that's been in Congress or in the Senate, he's been there 40 damn years or 50 years, he's still got that thought pattern.
He does, yeah.
You know, come on.
Absolutely.
We need to change that.
We need to change it up. We need some fresh blood. We need some fresh ideas. That's how we actually start to address these problems.
Well, we don't need them 84 years old in the hospital calling in their vote, you know?
My question is, don't you want to retire? At some point, let it go. Let go of the power and go be with your grandkids.
That's
and
the
retire.
Deal. That's the deal. You just said it. The power. They want that power. They want that control that they think they have. And a lot of them do have it.
Oh, yeah. You they know? Have it, or at least they have some sense of it.
But who gets screwed, man?
We do.
We do. The public gets screwed. Not only just veterans, but everybody.
Everybody. I've said that from the start of this campaign is look at conservatives. We're losing our voice because the people that are up there are holding on to their power. They're not working for us anymore.
Right. That is so true. That is so true. Well, what are some of the things that you'd like to see in addition to that?
Well, we've got to address affordability just overall. You know, right now, whether it's housing cost, whether it's, you know, car cost, whether it's fuel cost, the affordability and the inflation is killing the people. And so we need to address that. And the first way that the government can do that is stop the spending. Stop the needless spending.
Right.
Tame down inflation and get our dollar back to it being worth something.
Let's get our money under control.
Yes.
You know? We don't need to just go borrow another $1 trillion here and go borrow another $1 trillion there.
Yep. It's my kids that are going to be saddled with figuring that out later on.
And grandkids you're talking about.
Absolutely.
You know, come on. My grandkids or great-grandkids are going to be involved in it.
$40 trillion worth of debt and growing every single day and another $88 trillion worth of obligations on the Treasury bill.
Yep. Well, we're very appreciative of you taking the time to be on with us. We wish you luck in running for this office. What's the date of the vote?
It's going to be August 11th, and it's a special primary. Get out and vote. It's just going to be this congressional race on there. And if you want to find out more information about my campaign, come see us on Facebook or our website at sidwellforcongress.com.
Thank you so much. Glad to have you on board today. Congratulations,
thanks,
bro.
Thank
All
you
right,
so much.
Glad to see you running.
Yes, sir.
And on the other side, we'll have a tirade.
Claxton.
1970, the social fabric of the United States was in tatters, with radical leftist groups coming together to protest just about everything from the Vietnam War to civil rights to the AMC Gremlin, the Chevy Vega, and the Ford Pinto. Most of the protests were peaceful until Pintos started blowing up on impact. Anti-American socialists and communist agitators, including groups like the Weathermen, the Students for a Democratic Society, the Youth International Party, the Black Panthers, and others were fomenting violence throughout the nation, much of it on our college campuses. Law enforcement officers and buildings were attacked with impunity. Surprisingly enough, the nation's heartland was not immune from the unrest of the day. Kent State University in Kent, Ohio, might seem like the unlikeliest location for left-wing anti-American protests, but civil unrest at the university began as far back as 1966. It escalated in 1968 when the Students for a Democratic Society, or SDS, and Black United Students staged a sit-in to protest police recruiters on campus. You think defund the police was a new concept in 2020? This is an old anarchist playbook. Result, no one was punished. Instead, 250 Black students walked off campus in a successful amnesty bid for the protesters. Sound familiar? April 1st, 1969, SDS members attempted to enter the administration building where they clashed with police. April the 16th, a disciplinary hearing involving two protesters resulted in a confrontation between supporters and opponents of SDS. The Ohio State Highway Patrol was called, and 58 people were arrested. April the 10th, 1970, Jerry Rubin, a leader of the Youth International Party, also known as the Yippies, spoke on campus and said, quote, "The first part of the Yippie program is to kill your parent. They are the first oppressors." Peaceful protesters. 2 weeks after that, Bill Arthrell, an SDS member and former student, distributed flyers to an event where he said he was going to napalm a dog at an anti-napalm teach-in. PETA would be so proud. April the 30th. President Nixon announced a U.S. incursion into Cambodia that became the catalyst for increasingly violent gatherings. May the 1st, two peaceful daytime protests were held on campus, but an unknown protester posted a sign on a tree reading, quote, "Why is the ROTC building still standing?" My mama always said nothing good ever happened after midnight, and she was right. In downtown Kent that night, people left a bar and began throwing beer bottles at police cars, injuring five police officers and breaking several windows in a downtown storefront. The riot quickly escalated into vandalism, prompting an order to close all the bars and police deployed tear gas to force the rioters back to campus. The National Guard was called in the next day, but by the time they arrived, the ROTC building was burned to the ground. According to an after-action report, quote, "Information developed by an FBI investigation of the ROTC building fire indicates that, of course, those who participated actively, a significant portion weren't Kent State students. There is also evidence to suggest that the burning was planned beforehand. Railroad flares, a machete, and ice picks are not customarily carried to peaceful rallies." Sound familiar? The daylight hours of Sunday, May the 3rd, were mainly peaceful, but a gathering of protesters that evening forced the guard to dispense tear gas to disperse the crowd. May the 4th, violating a ban from the university, about 3,000 protesters gathered on campus. The guard was already present. Around noon, the crowd was ordered to disperse by the guard and campus police. Instead of complying, they began to pelt the guardsmen with rocks and even throwing tear gas canisters back at the guard. Tensions continued to rise with the guard pushing forward to remove protesters amidst a hail of rocks. An officer fired a handgun into the air, and the guardsmen began to retreat up a hill. Protesters on the hill parted to let them pass, but those who had previously withdrawn moved on the guard, pelting them with rocks as they retreated. As the guard crested the hill, they turned and fired on the crowd. The aftermath of the shots has been captured in photographs that are shocking even today. Four students lay dead and nine were injured. The nation was outraged, but a majority blamed the students for the incident. Nonetheless, the shooting at Kent State and a subsequent shooting of two Black students at Jackson State University in May gave rise to an unprecedented surge in anti-war activism throughout the nation. Many credit this movement as the beginning of the end of the Vietnam War. As with so many progressive movements throughout the history, the leadership was more than happy to sacrifice a few of their foot soldiers in order to further their cause. Think St. George Floyd and the ensuing BLM riots of 2020, which led to defund the police and the rise of the unchecked criminal left. Now, you may be thinking Top Cat for the history lesson, but also wondering why. Well, as I write this, the city of Angels is burning under an assault by today's anti-American leftists, except now the rioters include criminal illegal aliens waving Mexican flags. Illegals allowed into the country by the Biden-Harris open border policy and coddled by the sanctuary policies of states like California and cities such as L.A. What began as an attempt to obstruct ICE agents and federal officers from doing their job by removing the worst criminal illegals from our streets has grown into a full-blown riot, bordering on insurrection in the streets of L.A. The videos of federal officers being pelted with rocks, bottles, unknown liquids, and even high-powered fireworks highlight the fact that these protests were hardly meant to be peaceful. Those carrying signs saying kill ICE and spray painting the same around the Metropolitan Detention Center where they think the illegals are being held believe that chaos and killing is the path to taking over our nation. There are no spontaneous protests. They are all organized riots. Just look at the video of the California Highway Patrol vehicles being firebombed from rioters on an overpass where the California Highway Patrol attempted to take cover. Just as the protests at Kent State were found to be planned, remember, who carries a railroad stake, railroad flares, and machete to a peaceful rally? Evidence indicates that many of the rioters have come prepared to inflict harm to law enforcement and destroy property. In response to the attacks on federal officers and the lack of support from the mayor of L.A., the L.A. police, and Governor Brill Creem, President Trump has deployed the National Guard to protect federal law enforcement and property. He has said that the Marines at Camp Pendleton are on standby to reinforce the feds if needed. Since the riots began on Friday, they have grown and become more violent, with thousands riding in the streets, many carrying Mexican flags, most covering their faces in order to mask their identities. In some of the most disturbing images, these criminals who broke laws to come into this nation expressed their appreciation by burning and spitting on American flags. And as L.A. burns, the politicians who failed to protect their citizens, Governor Vitalis and Mayor Halfash, refused to condemn the violent criminal alien rioters. Instead, they focused their blame on President Trump, sending in the National Guard. Jedi mind trick. There was nothing to see here until the Guard showed up. Huh. These aren't the illegals you're looking for. Undoubtedly, President Trump did not take this action lightly or without careful consideration and ample advice. This is not his first rodeo. Remember, during the Summer of Love and the BLM riots, many of the nation's largest cities were burned and looted by, no doubt, many of the same rioters that now roam the streets of L.A. today. At the time, Trump waited for a call from state officials to call up the Guard, costing billions in property losses and damage and dozens of lives. Remember, Tampon Tim opened his windows to take in the smell of Minneapolis burning. In light of that, the president has chosen to get ahead of the rioters by proactively deploying the Guard and possibly the Marines. President Trump promised to remove these criminal illegals to keep our streets safe, and his actions are a promise kept. I believe he is correct in doing so. I also believe that the leftist organization of the riots will continue to ramp up their attacks on law enforcement and that the rioters will undoubtedly spread to other cities run by the Democratic Communists in an attempt to create a new summer of love. It was part of their playbook in 1970 and in 2020, and they are seizing on this moment to, as they say, burn it to the ground. The communists need chaos to advance their agenda, and as we have seen in the past, they are willing to sacrifice their own to achieve their goals. And while I have no love for these scumbag illegals, my hope is that law and order can prevail quickly and peacefully. The communist left is looking to turn this into today's Kent State, blame President Trump for the consequences of their own failed policies, and continue to drag the nation into a progressive morass. Hopefully, the Trump administration will be successful in their efforts to restore peace on the streets of L.A. without bloodshed on either side and continue to move America forward. Our children's future hangs in the balance. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton. Just a thought. Don't try that shit down here.
Where's your drill sergeant, man?
Pull up, sir!
Pull up, sir!
So am I to understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jack!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, a couple of Marines. Just a little bit to say the First Amendment right to say it and the fighting spirit to keep it. And, you know, Tom, I pulled that one just because we see now that they actually have an organized playbook come in and attack federal buildings, military installations, and the such. But next week we're going to be joined by author James Scott. He is going to discuss his upcoming book coming out in August, Empire of Ashes. He's been on with us before. You don't want to miss it. But that's going to bring us to the close of tonight's edition of the Scuttlebutt Network. Remember, hero is not a four-letter word. God bless America. We'll catch you on the other side.
Hoorah!